Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They rejoiced when they saw Jesus' wounds. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see someone else's wounds, I'm not rejoicing. But the disciples rejoice at the sight of Jesus' wounds. 26 years ago, my grandpa, who was a longtime Lutheran pastor, sent me with a book called The Wounded Healer by Henry Nouwen when I boarded the train to Seattle, Washington for my year of service with the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. He knew my placement was with the L'Arche community in Seattle, an international faith-based community for people with and without developmental intellectual disabilities who live together like a family. And he knew that Henry Nouwen, theology professor at Notre Dame, Harvard, and Yale, and actually close personal friends with Pastor Callen. He was his housekeeper at St. John's, which I think is so fun. My grandpa knew that he left the ivory towers of academia and moved into a L'Arche community in Toronto, Canada himself in 1986. It was here that he would spend the rest of his life. It was here that his previously heady teaching about Jesus became embodied, for he and the core members were those with the intellectual disabilities, encountered one another as human beings, not as ideas or theories or projects. Henry Nouwen recognized the incarnation and resurrection at L'Arche. They became real for him there. And I would say the same is true for me. My Lutheran pastor grandpa gave this book to me in 1998, knowing that my faith would be changed by heading out on that train that day. He knew the truth of this book, that Jesus is our Savior, yes, but even more importantly, for our everyday lives, Jesus is our healer. And it is Jesus' wounds that make this known. Just look at today's gospel text. It starts on the evening of Christ's resurrection. The disciples are together hiding behind closed doors. They're filled with fear. But locked doors and fear can't keep the risen Christ away. For in their darkness, Christ shows up. Christ shows up and shows his hands and his side. Christ shows up and says, "Peace be with you." Christ shows up and breathes on them to show that he is truly alive. Christ shows up and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples gathered on that first night of the resurrection recognize Jesus because of these things, but Thomas, who is not present that night, doesn't believe it. Thomas wants proof himself. So the next week, the disciples are again gathered in the same place, but this time Thomas is with them. It is in this place that Jesus shows up once again, even though doors are shut, once again, and he says, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus offers what Thomas is asking for, and Thomas also recognizes Jesus. When I arrived in the L'Arche community, my assignment was to be a personal assistant for one of the core members named Marjorie. Marjorie had cerebral palsy and was quick as a whip. Her days were spent in a wheelchair, however, which meant she needed another person alongside her to lift her from place to place. That person would be me. And though I was truly insecure about living in a new place with new people, doing things I had never done before, I still believed I could do anything I set my mind to. That is, until I met Marjorie. You see, Marjorie had welcomed hundreds of people into her life to try to help her, assisting her to bed at night and into her chair or shower in the morning. Marjorie depended on people she really didn't know to assist her with her most essential everyday tasks. And because of the many people in and out of Marjorie's life, she checked you out thoroughly upon arrival. Now, don't get me wrong, I think all human beings do this at an unconscious level, but people often hide their true feelings in their verbal communication. That was not true with Marjorie. She was not afraid to let me know how she felt about me, and yet I didn't understand why she wasn't so sure about me. Up until this point in my life, I had received quite a lot of good feedback from people. I was received quite well by people if I showed them my capabilities. Even though I might have felt insecure beneath the surface, hiding my truth was my mode of operating, and I was sticking to it. But Marjorie didn't care for me hiding my truth. Marjorie could see right through it, and her quick wit got at the root of my pretense. There was something about me she just did not like, and I didn't know what to do with that. I just kept trying harder and harder to prove myself, and it just did not work. The disconnect grew. It was clear she really, really did not like me. And I was wondering how I could make it through this year. And then came the moment of transformation. I don't even remember what it was, but I do know this. Marjorie's direct, sharp tongue that daily looked for a way to break me down finally did. And I cried. And I cried really hard, right in front of Marjorie. And I didn't like it one bit. It was painful. It was embarrassing. I felt out of control. It was not the stoic Scandinavian Lutheran self I was used to presenting. And yet it was in that moment of complete brokenness that Marjorie's relationship with me began to change. It was in that moment that Marjorie saw my wounds and softened. That Marjorie began to trust me. That Marjorie recognized I was also human and broken too. It was in that moment that new life broke through. Until that moment, I was hurting in this relationship, but I didn't want to admit it. Marjorie was hurting too and was pretty good at projecting it onto me. Richard Rohr says our natural instinct is to try to fix pain, to control it, or to try to understand it. But if we could see our wounds as the way through, as Jesus did, then they would become sacred wounds, rather than scars to deny or disguise or project onto someone else's journey. Most people are like electric wires. What comes in is what goes out. Someone calls us a name, we call them a name right back. That is, most people pass on the same energy that is given to them. Richard Rohr so wisely says, if you don't transform your pain, you transmit it. So after I broke down with Marjorie, things changed. Until that moment in my life, I had kind of believed that in achieving things, I would find joy. That in covering up my wounds and showing no pain would bring me happiness. But Marjorie showed me that it's actually through shared wounds that Jesus shows up and deep joy is found. Jesus shows up for and with us in the places none of us would choose for ourselves. You'd think the people who had just learned of Jesus' resurrection, as we heard in today's story, would be filled with joy. But the gospel tells us that they were locking themselves behind closed doors. It wasn't until they saw Jesus' wounds that they rejoiced. In our wounds, Jesus shows up too. Jesus Christ shows up when we overperform to hide what's really going on inside. Christ shows up when we are heartbroken with grief. Christ shows up when we are locked in addiction. Christ shows up when we can't love ourselves. Christ shows up when we can't love each other. Christ shows up, period. Today's gospel reminds us that Jesus has been to the cross before us. But Jesus does not stay there, nor does Jesus leave us there. Crucifixion happens to all of us, but crucifixion never has the last word. For the risen Christ keeps showing up, keeps breathing life into our lifeless places, keeps sharing words of peace and courage, and keeps sending us with the Holy Spirit to show up for others who find themselves in the same places. Jesus Christ died for us, and Jesus Christ rose again. This is the truth that transforms. This is the truth that sets free. Thanks be to God. Amen.